Welcome to the Blacklands Cafe. I'm John Mark Dempsey. Have a cup of coffee on the house. It's Wednesday, October 16th. Sharing a table with us in the cafe this morning, A&M Commerce Professor of Economics, Dr. Dale Funderburk. Birthdays, Noah Webster of Webster's Dictionary fame, born in 1758. Satirist Oscar Wilde, 1854. Angela Lansbury is 88. Suzanne Summers, 67 today. Actor Tim Robbins is 55. And singer-songwriter John Mayer is 36. On this day in history, in 1793, the last Queen of France, Marie Antoinette, is beheaded. Her husband, King Louis XVI, had met a similar grisly fate 9 months earlier.
A year after the revolution swept her from her throne, Marie Antoinette stood on trial for her life. Accused of crimes against the French Republic, and appalling sexual practices as well.
A much happier day on October 16th, 1987. 18-month-old Jessica McClure, baby Jessica, is rescued from an abandoned water well in Midland as the whole world anxiously watches on television. Here's CBS TV audio.
Here she comes. There's clapping.
Live and direct from Midland, Texas, Jessica McClure is up. She's alive. What a fighter.
A terrible memory for many in Central Texas. On this day in 1991, 23 people died in a mass murder at the Luby's restaurant in Killeen. Survivor Susanna Gracia Hupp.
My father took my attention, and he began to raise up, and he said, I got to do something. He's going to kill everybody in here. And I tried to hold him down by his shirt collar. But when he saw what he thought was an opportunity, he got up and he ran at the man. And the guy simply just turned and shot him.
Many customers dove under tables to escape the gunman, only to be shot as they hid.
Number one on the charts on this day in 1996, for the 14th week in a row, Los Del Rio and the Macarena.
With me, chant with me, and if you're good, I'll take you home with me.
Hala tu cuerpo, alegría, Macarena, que tu cuerpo es para dar la alegría y cosa buena. Hala tu cuerpo, alegría, Macarena, Macarena.
It's useless to resist. You'll be humming this to yourself all day. On the KETR events calendar, the Master Gardener Association of Hunt County presents a program from 6 to 7 p.m. Thursday evening, backyard gardening and entertaining by Anita Harris and Nancy Oliver. And they'll show everyone how to have a nice backyard garden to entertain in. This takes place at the Hunt County Extension Outdoor Learning Center. That's at 2217 Washington Street in downtown Greenville. For more information, see KETR.org. It's the Master Gardener Association of Hunt County program at 6 p.m. Thursday evening in downtown Greenville. Our guest in the cafe this morning is Dr. Dale Funderburk, Professor of Economics and Interim Dean of the College of Business and Entrepreneurship. And the topic of debt has been much in the news of late, of course, with the debate over raising the debt ceiling in Washington. And so we're going to spend a few minutes this morning talking about the subject of debt. And Dale, we often hear the national debt compared to personal debt, and all of us know about that, but is that a fair comparison? Is that an apples-to-apples comparison?
It's not an apples-to-apples, and the primary reason, I would say, is that if you or I get in trouble with debt there and we can't borrow, we don't have a printing press that we can legally use. They put us in jail for that. The Treasury, since they own a bank, namely the Federal Reserve, that is the epitome of a printing press. So puts them in a little different position.
And so, really, that's the only thing that's keeping the federal government from getting into the same trouble that you or I would if we just got deeply, deeply into debt.
It is. And when we talk about default, if you or I don't have any more dollars to pay to our creditors there, again, we simply have to default. Now, while there's a little bit of political talk about default now, the government can create new money. And in fact, they do it daily.
And of course, the federal government also has the ability to borrow at prodigious rates, which most of us don't have.
They do. As a matter of fact, for an example, every Monday, there's not a holiday, they're going into the market and borrowing these days about $100 billion to tide them over to next Monday when they do it again. And so, again, they are massive demanders in the money markets.
And this that happens on Monday that you mentioned, this is a sale of Treasury bills, did you say?
Yes. As a matter of fact, for example, last several weeks, they would go in, and for 3 months, Treasury bills, they sold about $35 billion worth. And since they're 3 months, in 3 months, since we're not running into surpluses, they've got to reborrow that. And another $30 billion of 6 months, and about that much of 1 year.
And a major purchaser of those bills is other countries.
Other countries. Today, if you look at total government securities, so not only the T-bills, which are short-term, but notes and bonds, which get out to longer term, foreign or international hold about one-third of that almost $17 trillion that's outstanding.
Mm-hmm. Most of us wouldn't have a home without a mortgage, and a lot of us wouldn't be driving a car if we weren't making a monthly payment. So debt can be a good thing. There's a place for debt. Debt is not always a bad thing.
Absolutely. And as a matter of fact, debt and credit is a very big part of our economy. A problem, which I often say, is that if you go into debt to buy a car, then if your asset, the car, is pretty close in size to your debt, you're not in bad shape. But if you're having to borrow a lot of money and go into debt to pay gasoline, that's a different matter.
Historically speaking, where are we in terms of debt right now as far as a country? Of course, obviously, there have been times in the past when we had a lot of debt. But how does it compare right now to the other times in our history and the average debt that perhaps the U.S. has had?
Yeah, it, as a matter of fact, is high by historical standards. Today, the U.S. public debt is larger than our GDP, or national income. Prior to the last couple of years, you'd have to go back to really World War II to find a case to where that our debt was actually larger than our GDP. So again, it is high, and that's one of the reasons why many worry about it.
Why do we have a debt ceiling? We've heard so much about the debt ceiling in the past few weeks, and it continues to be an issue, and it will be an issue again. If we're going to raise it every time, why do we bother to have a debt ceiling?
Once upon a time, the idea of a debt ceiling was that would impose some discipline on Congress or president that couldn't control spending. In recent years, it has become a political thing. Everyone knows that it will be raised. It's simply a matter of how much political leverage can be taken from it.
Where do you see this going? And where do you see it going? And if Dale Funderburk had a say, what would be the outcome?
Okay. I'm a macroeconomist. I look at the overall economy and over time. So I don't pay a lot of attention to the very, very short-term things. But it is a case that what we need to do is get control of the budget and to a considerable extent spending on that. And we haven't done that.
Of course, people will argue, well, we need to raise taxes as well. We need to increase the revenue and deal with that side of the equation.
And as always, if we raise it on the other fellow, an interesting thing is that if you look at the Forbes list of richest Americans, so if you'll take the Bill Gates and the Warren Buffetts and all these, if you'd take every penny all of our billionaires have, that would keep us going about a week.
Mm. That's something to think about, isn't it?
It is.
That's a sobering fact. Well, Dale Funderburk, as always, I wish we had more time, but thanks for having a cup of coffee with us this morning. Dale Funderburk, professor of economics and interim dean of the College of Business and Entrepreneurship at A&M Commerce. You're starting the day with Morning Edition on your station, 88.9 KETR.